You're listening to Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast and the official podcast of the Lavender Legion.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional sports team in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, Racing Louisville Football Club. I am Tom Benson, here with Becky Morgan and Caitlin Whiteside. And Becky and Caitlin, last year, former racing player Paige Monahan coined the term "Go Big Perp." Now, luckily, here on this podcast, we have the creator of the perpometer, Caitlin Whiteside, who can tell us exactly how big the perp is. Caitlin, last night, Racing drew Orlando 2-2. I am going to start this podcast by asking you, how big is the perp?
Yeah, Tom. So my perpometer reading is at a solid medium. So yesterday's game was medium perp performance. I feel like we got some big perp in the first half, some small perp in the second half. And so, you know, average of that, medium perp performance. Yeah, well, and so we'll use this segment to kind of keep tabs on that. And yeah, official perpometer reading this week is medium.
I agree with that. I think it's definitely solid mid perp. Not too bad, not too good. I will say that Taylor Vincent, friend of the pod, did text me and said that it started out as a vibrant perp.
Vibrant.
As a vibrant perp, and then mellowed out.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I think that that's a very colorful way of describing the perp. But no matter how you say it, it was just pretty much mid-tier perp.
Yeah.
Sounds fair. And Becky, when you and I started this podcast a couple of years ago, we started with a segment that we called The Starting Line because we knew that a lot of the listeners of this podcast would not be fans of the NWSL naturally. They may not be following the league, and we wanted to make sure that they were up to date on the status of the league, scores, standings, all of that good stuff. Since that time, however, the NWSL has continued to blow up. Fans of this podcast know where to find scores and standings. So what do you think about just tailoring this starting line to racing specific transactions? What's going on with the club? And to that, with a starting line, what's going on with racing right now?
Well, as we speak, and there are still games going on right now, and I think I just saw an alert come up on my phone that said Aubrey Kingsbury just got sent off in the Seattle-Washington game. And I'm not going to look at my phone because I don't want to get too distracted, but it sounds like chaos is happening.
Fun.
But as it stands, with games yet to be played and games going on, Racing stands at fifth place. That will change. That will inevitably change. But Not awful. I mean, hey, they drew. That's fine. But as for changes, things to remember as we are discussing this week, I want people to remember that Ari Borges twisted her ankle in the Gold Cup while she was with Brazil. So she was, I believe, questionable. She wasn't fully out, so it's not a serious injury, but she did not see any minutes. Aaron Wright, I believe, was also questionable. She had just a very minor injury, and I believe she could have had minutes, but she didn't. But that bodes well. She should be back. And then also, in the time since our last podcast, Millie Clegg from New Zealand, the teenaged phenom, has arrived, but she is still recuperating from the hamstring injury that she sustained earlier this year while playing in Australia. And so it's still going to be a bit of time as she gets up to speed and before she sees minutes with the team, but it's good to have her here to get, you know, mixed in with the team and ready to go. So I do feel like we're pretty much finally at full force in terms of our personnel.
Any idea how long we'll need to wait to get Ari back, you think?
I think she's going to probably be back next game.
Okay.
I mean, will she start? I don't know. I don't know the extent of the injury, but I would if she was only questionable, and I could swear I should have checked before we did this, I think she was only questionable because I think we would have been a lot more alarmed if
Yeah,
she
she
was
was.
flat out. Then I can't see that it's going to be bad enough that she couldn't at least get managed minutes in the next game.
That'd be exciting. Although, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, the offense was certainly on exciting display early, and it'll be really interesting to see where Coach Yanez wants to play her. But moving on to our commercial break, we've got a little bit of unfinished business here because, unbeknownst to Caitlin, Becky, and myself, we had some listeners that were very generous and sent a few bucks our way by the Buy Me a Coffee app, which, Becky, when you first set this podcast up, you put that link in the bio and we didn't think about it again. But God bless you to a few of our listeners who did help us out along the way. Stuart Olfertz, Holly Freeland, Crucible. Thank you all for supporting the podcast. It's not something that we ever necessarily asked for, but we really appreciate it. Anytime that anyone takes some of their hard-earned money and sends it your way, you always appreciate it. We will continue to do the hard work. It's hard. It's a lot of fun, but we will continue to put this podcast together and glad that you enjoy it.
And if you are so inclined, you can donate to buymeacoffee.com/BTRD. We do pay to host this podcast, so any support is, of course, appreciated.
Also, one more thing while we're at it, this will be the one time that we ask you all this year. If you are so inclined, please go to our Spotify page or our Apple podcast page and leave us a rating. If you want to leave a little message on there, saying how much you love us, that would be great too. But it does help. I know when I go look for a new podcast, I read the reviews, and if you all, really enjoy this, tell people about it in the reviews. We'd really appreciate that.
We really would. And of course, as always, we do appreciate your tuning in and listening.
Yes, absolutely.
And we appreciate the fact that after our last podcast, when we mentioned that there was going to be a She Plays Butchertown Rundown Lavender Legion or Lavender Legion Butchertown Rundown League, man, y'all showed out. This thing is going crazy. How many teams are there in there right now?
48.
That's
Wow.
insane.
I remember when I thought that we were going to start this, I was like, we'll get six maybe. We'll have a couple people who'll be
Six times
friends.
eight.
I mean, and we, yeah, exactly. And y'all, like, you went off with it. You really enjoyed it. We have names. DeMello Brick Road is a personal favorite.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, they're just. Even the owner of She Plays wrote me just to be like, you have some great names in your league. So good job, everybody. We won't know what the standings are from this first weekend until I believe tomorrow at the earliest. But each week or each time we have a podcast, I will keep a little running tab of who's on top. But if you still want to join us, you can. You may have missed the first week, but that doesn't mean you can't create a team. And that doesn't mean that you can't join in on the action. So you probably can't do it until Monday. You can't do it until after, well, this podcast will be coming out on Wednesday, so go ahead and do it quickly. But just go to sheplays.com.au/NWSL/league/, and this is the code for our league. It's a little awkward, M3OPIE. If that's awkward, then go to our Instagram account or our Twitter account. And you can find all the directions about how to create a team, how to join the league, or even better, join the Legion if you're not a member and join the Slack. And we are having a great time laughing and having a great time and talking about our different teams and our games and sharing how we're building them in the fantasy league portion of that Slack. So just another great way to connect to other racing fans, should you want to do that. We'd love to have you join us.
Fantastic. And even though whoever's listening to this has the ability to hit the back 15 seconds button on their Spotify, Let's just take a quick second. You're wondering what the login code is. Get out your pen and paper, get out the notes tab on your phone. And Becky, would you say it starts with?
M, the number three, the letter O, the letter P, the letter I, the letter E.
Wow. That is like the strong password suggestion on my iPhone when I try to get into a new website.
Next year, I will get a customized league code. I apologize, everybody.
But
I didn't even realize it was a
no way.
possibility until too late. This is my novice mistake.
No way. No way. Because those that are in the league, they're like, no, it wasn't
The
easy. When this.
M3OPI league is the best league.
M3OP? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
M3OP to the end.
M3OP, yes, is the best.
Oh, I got a shout out to my fellow Gem Xers. M3OP, yeah, you know me.
Ooh, Tom.
Oh,
Ooh,
that's
I
right.
appreciate it. I respect it, but
Thank you. I just want you all to know that my
ooh.
daughter upstairs in my house is embarrassed right now. She doesn't know why. It's just in the universe, and she's embarrassed. So as we move into the prime cut for this show, which is, of course, about the first racing game of the season, a 2-2 draw with Orlando. Becky and Caitlin, I want you both to think because I want both of your opinions on this. But Caitlin, I'm going to start with you. To me, this game was a bit of a Rorschach test. Now, as you know, a Rorschach test, you look at a blank, a piece of paper with a bunch of ink on it, and you see what you're going to see. And some folks look at this game and say, there's signs of improvement. And some folks look at this game and say, same old racing. When you look at the Rorschach test of the first game of the season, what do you see?
I mean, I think this game really was a tale of two halves. And if I'm just basing it off of that first half, then yeah, this is a whole new racing and I'm here for it. And it's great. It looks great to me. That second half, I just got flashbacks to last year. The only reason I would say this is not, it's not all bad is because this is the first game of the season, right? So they are gonna work these kinks out. I'm going to hold my judgment before I start, doom and gloom. Oh, it's the same old racing. Not again. I think we have to give them a few games to gel. I mean, Bev has even said, you have to peak at the right time. And it's going to take some time for this team to get to where they need to be. So I don't think it should be all doom and gloom. As annoyed as I am, don't misunderstand me. I was extremely annoyed that we couldn't hold on to that lead. But if I'm looking at the Rorschach test, I mean, it's not a bad picture. It's not a negative. I don't associate it with something negative. It looks more promising to me than bad.
See, that's really interesting because I've come to the same conclusion as you through a completely different way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't think this was a tale of two halves at all because really, in the first half, it was only the first 20 minutes that were good.
That's true.
After that, they had like 36 to like 64 or whatever, 60 possession. They sat back in a mid block and ended up giving up an own goal because they gave Orlando too many chances. I actually thought they played better in the second half
Interesting.
and solved some of the possession issues that they had. And they just made another stupid mistake. And I think that the mistake they made was that they just really did not consider that really distant set piece as threatening as they should have. And also, I mean, I'm sorry, like Abby and Flint just got beat and they also both blocked Katie from seeing where the ball was going. So that was like a mix of just bad luck and mistakes. And we'll talk about that a little more. But I mean, there was a lot that wasn't great in that second half. I mean, the fact that they had the numerical advantage and still gave up the equalizer. But I mean, there are things that were so much better than they were in past years. In past years, when we've gone up two and then given up two, we have been spending the whole second half scrambling and hanging on by our fingernails, and those fingernails are torn and bleeding, and we are lucky we didn't lose the game. Think Angel City, think the very end of the OL Reign game. when the team is just completely out of gas and like barely functioning because they've been pressing ineffectively, because they've just been kind of running all over the field and attack, 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 attack with no real sense of what they should be doing. And they didn't do that. I mean, they stayed in formation. They stayed pretty organized all through this match. They were pretty efficient. Things weren't perfect. Players got pulled out of position. There were mistakes. There are definitely things to be improved upon, but you could see what they were trying to do through the whole thing. And they weren't wiped by the end. And it wasn't just because they made, good substitutions. It's because they were actually playing smarter. Now, I do think that they did go into like a mid block too early, and that they did stop attacking a little too much. And I think that that's the fine line that they're going to need to find in their style. Like, okay, how do we mix staying on the attack with also knowing when we can go back and defend a little bit and sit back a little bit when we do have a two-goal lead? But this was not the Racing that got a two-goal lead and panicked because they had no idea how to win a game. This is Racing that just made some kind of dumb mistakes and didn't quite know each other and just looked like a team that had a lot of new players and is playing in a new style. So, yes, I agree that like this was far from a perfect game. There were a lot of frustrating things. I don't want to gloss over the fact that, yes, they gave up a goal and there were a couple very close chances when they had the numerical advantage. So, I mean, there were some things that I definitely did not like, but I don't think that it was a case in the past of first half good, second half bad, because I mean, that own goal was in the first half and that was sloppy. I think on the whole, the team looked much more consistent, but there's just still obviously a decent amount of work to be done.
That's fair. And I wonder if I were to rewatch that game on NWSL Plus, the new app that no one can figure out, but we won't get into that right now. But I wonder if I would watch it back and maybe see it differently than, the initial viewing at the game.
Some of the things that happened in this game, you can give a pass to because it was the first game. But if they happen in the second game, if they happen in the third game, if they happen in the fourth game, they're not going to be like they're going to not get like that pass is going to expire next week. So, I mean, but the players seem to know that too, though. I mean, again, I felt like there was not a sense of confusion, and maybe I've paid a little more attention to this than other people, but when people like Ariel Dror, and she's not going to do this anymore because now she works for Bay, unfortunately, but she would release like the passing matrixes. I guess I can pull them and maybe I'll start releasing them for Racing. But you would see against some teams, and our passing would be like our formation, because you can see the formation in the passing matrix. We would be pulled all out of whack, and you'd be like, "What was this person doing up here?" Like you can't even see like the 4-3-3 or the 4-2-3-1, or even like what the attacking formation would change into, in what their average position would be, because that's usually what would show up in a passing matrix, or in if you even just pull up like their average position versus their starting position. And in here, you could very, very clearly see that their average position and in the passing matrix, like they did have a full network of passing. Like they did move the ball. They moved it more up the flanks, not as much up the center. That's not great, but they still moved it. It's not like there was no movement up one side or in the center like there have been in past years. And it's also not like they were completely pulled out of whack and disjointed. Like it seemed like they did execute to a degree, what they were trying to do. And I think that that's already a good sign, because Orlando is a team with a lot of fast, aggressive players who their whole thing that they're trying to do is pull you out of position. All the Brazilian players and everything. And I think Racing did a pretty good job of not being tempted into doing that.
I gotta tell you, there's a common theme, and I think it's probably pretty prevalent among new franchises of like, who's our rival? Who's our rival? I gotta tell y'all, I'm starting to get sick of Orlando. I mean, is it if it's not Sidney Leroux getting a desperation header in the last second, if it's not a draw after we've been up in the middle of the Daytona Speedway, I'm looking forward to getting a win against them. I'm getting a little tired of this club. I got a
But we came back and beat them after going down two. last year. But the thing
Yeah.
that's so interesting is we've played them 8 times, I believe. Maybe this is the ninth. I can't remember. They've never beaten us at home, and we've never beaten them in Exploria.
Interesting.
I've got a lot of respect for that team. I've got a lot of respect for them. I got a lot of respect for what they're building. I'm tired of not getting wins. But one thing that I thought about as I watched this game was that there's been so much talk about Bev getting her system implemented. These players, like, all right, this is a whole new offense. This is a whole new defense. We're transitioning differently. Players need to understand, develop different relationships. And I wonder if, in all of that change, if set pieces were neglected, because both of those goals came off of set pieces, and there are only so many hours in the day. And if you're Beviones with the veterans that you've got on this club, you may think, you know what? If I've only got 30 minutes left in this practice, I'm going to spend it on offense or defense, and I feel a little bit better on set pieces. And that came to fruition, that they
No, no,
weren't.
no. They practice set pieces religiously, and they've actually looked really good with them. And it's funny because Michael even said to me, Michael Shaw, who we sat next, Caitlin and I sat next to, even said, "I'm gonna regret this, but they've looked really good. They looked really good defending and taking set pieces this week." And then, lo and
Okay.
behold.
So it was Michael that cursed the game. It wasn't okay. See, I had thought it was me in the opening minutes of the game when Orlando kicked the ball and it knocked over the Lund Believable banner. I said, "Ooh, that's not a good sign. That doesn't bode well." I thought it was me. Sounds like it was Michael that cursed the game. Sorry, Michael.
Oh wow, the stress is off your shoulders. Nice job, Whiteside.
I do feel better about that.
Excellent.
That did seem pretty ominous, though, when that
Didn't
banner.
it?
Yeah,
Didn't
we looked at
it?
each other and we're like, I was like, which one fell? And you're like, Lund
Lund
Believable. The way
believable.
you said it, we were like, oh. Then Katie made an immediate, like, she didn't, I don't think she made a save, but she made like a clearance and we're like, okay.
Yeah, so I'll try not to think those things going forward. But that's interesting that Michael made that observation, because that set piece that Orlando scored on was less than
That was
ideal.
so perfectly taken, though. Go back and watch
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
Lands perfectly on, I wish I could remember who it was, one player's head. She flicks it perfectly with her forehead to land perfectly at the feet of Summer Yates, who perfectly flicks it in between, I believe, Abby and Flynn into the back corner of the goal. I mean, it was just such a perfect sequence of events that had
Yeah.
to happen with just the perfect weight of the ball and everything for it to match that way. That, like, I mean, some of that was luck. Some of that is maybe that Orlando is just exceptionally good at taking set pieces. But there was, I mean, that was not, it's not like they took a set piece and just blasted it into an empty net that no one was moving in front of. I mean, both Abby and Taylor were trying to block it. I don't know. That was just crap. I mean, that was just kind of shitty. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say a naughty word, but
But also, though, that's, it's a results game, it's a bottom line game. And while we're talking about how Orlando, everything fell right for them on their second goal, on the other side, for things going great for Louisville, welcome to Louisville, welcome to racing, Alexa Barr. Her first goal was a thing of beauty, a perfectly weighted pass in, perfectly chipping the keeper. When we're talking about Racing's goals of the year at the end of the season, we're going to come back to their very first goal of the year when the starting lineup was announced. I'm not going to say I was like, I wasn't dismissive, I wasn't skeptical, but I thought, oh, we haven't seen her. She wasn't in the Challenge Cup. What has Coach Yanez seen in her to give her that starting nod? I don't know. Maybe the fact that she has dominating speed and a beautiful touch to finish. Whiteside, what were your thoughts on that first goal?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't have Alexa Barr getting Racing's first goal of the season on my bingo card. But you know what? I am more than happy to say that I should have. She also made an assist on, we can talk about Uchenna
Odutay's
Kanu's goal, but she was just getting the spaces she was running into. She was on that right side wide open several times,
Yeah.
literally waving her hands in the
Whole
air,
game.
saying, "I'm open, I'm open." And I think that's maybe just this group playing together, and like once they figure out, oh, Alexa's gonna make this run, and she won't be having to shout across, "I'm open, I'm open," right? They'll just know that she'll be there. But she's fast, she knows where she should be, and like I am pleasantly surprised. And yeah, I can't wait to see more of her.
Yeah, she's definitely going to be a sleeper surprise for racing, and I think that that's just another instance of our team doing a great job of finding this excellent talent, and we're going to capitalize because of it. But let's not forget Raelynn Turner,
Oh,
who
yes. Yep.
sent in that perfect ball. I mean, rookie Raelynn Turner starting as the nine for the first time. I don't know if she even practiced or played as the nine for racing at all before this last week, and comes into her first professional game as a nine, gets an assist off a perfectly weighted ball, as you said, and then gets the hockey assist for Uchenna's goal, sends the ball to Barr, who sends it to Uchenna. So, I mean, that's phenomenal for all of them. And then Uchenna. I mean, this is who we were hoping to see last year, this confidence. And I mean, the thing that impressed me so much is that she was so aware of where Emily Sams was, where the defender was. When that ball was coming over, or right as she was waiting for that ball to come over from Barr, you could see her like, ooh, stutter stepping and tiptoeing, tiptoeing, not to go offsides, not to go offsides. And then perfectly timed her run. Stopped, kicked that ball in, made it low so Morehouse couldn't dive fast enough to get it. I mean, it was just beautiful. And she had a couple other excellent chances as well. I mean, I think that this is going to be the year that Uche goes off.
And she tracked back on defense too. I
Yep.
would like to shout that
Yep.
out. Like she was just back
Yes.
there hustling on defense. That was great to see too.
No, she did an excellent job. I think she looked great on the wing. I think that maybe the wing is where we need to see her. But I mean, these three together, like, have we ever seen this level of confidence and energy from a racing starting front line? And we've had individuals who brought confidence and individuals who brought energy, but I don't know if we've ever had three players who just killed it together like this and just went for it. I mean, I could not be more delighted. And Emma Sears came in late, but she got more shots off than anybody. Any of the starters. She had three shots. Everybody else, I think at most, only had two and created some good late chances as well, too. So, I mean, I'm really excited by these starters. I've never felt this good about our starters, and that's kind of a weird place to be for a racing fan. So, yeah, I think we have a lot of good things to be excited about there. That was definitely the bright spot of the game. And like you said, I really liked Barr's energy. I like the fact she was running along the sidelines, waving her arms, saying, "I'm here, I'm here." Whether they can get the ball to her or not, or whether she's the best choice or not, you want your players doing that. You want your players being like, "I want the ball, get me the ball." Like, that's the confidence and the energy you want from your attackers. And so, just love it.
And can we talk about both of their celebrations afterward? Like, just so excited. I mean, Alexa just like jumped in the air with this fist pump. I wish someone was taking a picture on that side of the stadium, because we kind of got a video from the back side of it, but like that's such a badass picture. And
And
then
then Uche dancing with Linda.
love that. Would love to see more of that this season.
I have a feeling we will. We also got a
So
little bit of Linda too, not that much. But I liked what I saw. I mean, we're gonna need to see more. She probably had the littlest bit of all the attackers, but still, I mean, talk about talent you can bring in off the bench.
And one thing that we saw in this game that we hadn't seen all that much in the past, that we've heard about it, but we haven't seen it executed, is this club building out of the back. And Caitlin, I know that was something that you saw that you were interested in kind of analyzing. So as the club was trying to build their offense out of the back, what were your thoughts on that?
I am scared and I don't like this and it makes me very nervous. But literally the whole time, just like, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh, these passes. Now, look, I think with some refinement, this is going to be good. But right now, when there's a high press and you're not used to building out of the back like this, like you're going to mess up and pass it somewhere you shouldn't be, and that high press is going to get you. And honestly, Orlando could have punished Racing several times with their press, especially in that first half. So, yeah, Racing, they can do that against maybe less talented teams that don't press as much, or they're just going to have to get
Who?
better. I don't
Who?
know. I
There
don't
isn't
know.
anybody. No, Racing has to do it if they're going to do it. And they didn't do it that badly. We were scared by it, but they had an 80% passing accuracy. They had better passing accuracy than the Pride. Most of their short passes were risky and a little scary, but they completed most of them. They had better passing accuracy by almost 10% than a lot of the games last season.
Yes, and this is part of me being just a naturally anxious person, like being a, scared of it being back there. But I did it not feel like Racing was getting pinned back there with the ball, just passing it between each other constantly and not being able to get it out of the back?
Not as badly as I felt like they did last year at times. I mean, Racing has always tried to build that from the back, and they've always kind of sucked at it.
Yeah.
And they've just given up on it halfway through the season. And I feel like Bev is determined to do it. And I do feel like they already look a little better than they have in the past. Like they actually know the movements they're supposed to be taking in order to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, a big problem with this, because I'm just going to lead us into this right now, is that Taylor Flint was playing as the six, who is the person who would receive the ball from the center backs if the ball is going to move centrally. Taylor Flint is not a natural six. So she really struggled to like receive the ball and pivot naturally
Yeah.
under the press. She did
Yeah.
not do a horrible job by any means, but like she played like a player who's playing out of position. And that made things kind of awkward. And, if she stuck out as someone who maybe looked like they were struggling a little more, I mean, it's honestly because, no offense to Baggett, who I absolutely adore and think is an excellent player, was pretty invisible all game. And so, I mean, this I think will correct itself a lot when Jaylen is back in the center and
Yeah.
able to receive and distribute the ball a little better.
Yeah.
And I think that if Flint can be up a little higher, where she's maybe a little less edgy, and if her back is turned, she's not going to be like 15 feet away from the net,
Yeah.
we'll feel a little better about this. So, I mean, there were a couple factors about this that I think made that seem a little more dangerous and a little more edgy, but at the same time, like they have to, if they're going to do it, they have to do it.
They have to fully commit to it, is what you're
They
saying.
have to commit
Yeah.
to it. And they did a pretty okay job down the flanks. They did not do a great job down the center, but they didn't like kill us down the center. I mean, we had fairly successful passing down the center. I mean, did they stymie us a lot? Sure. And did we like not? I mean, I think the biggest problem is like we just did not hold possession. We had a whole lot of turnovers, but I think that we corrected that a decent amount. I mean, yeah, it was rough. I'm not trying to make it seem like, no, they were fine. No, it's perfectly normal. No, it was rough. But like Bev has said that she wants to play soccer the right way. And when I asked Jalen at the last press conference what the right way meant, she said it meant building out of the back. They want to
Yeah.
be a team that builds up their goals, doesn't just like score in transition or offset pieces. And so like they need to do this, and they need to learn how to do this under pressure if they're gonna do it. And they can't just practice it against the teams that aren't good at it.
Right. Well, okay, but I hope it didn't come off as that's not what I meant. I think it's more along the lines of what you said. If they're going to do it, they need to commit fully to it, and they need that. The six, I think, is the bit of connective tissue that we were missing. It was
Missing,
obvious
absolutely.
when you don't have a good six, like, or an effective six that's good at distributing, like Jaylen, when she's not in, it's noticeable, right? Because there's just like a hole in that midfield. So of course the ball is going to get passed around the back, or it's going to get passed up the side, maybe not as much in the middle, because like you said, Taylor Flint's not a natural distributor. Like, that's no knock against her, but it's just sometimes she would receive the ball and it seemed to me like she was surprised. Like, what, where do I go? What do I do? And that's, you know, if you're not used to playing there, then of course you're going to be like that. So I'm very curious to see once we get Jaylen back in there, who is our starting six defensive midfielder. She's so good at distributing the ball and being able to pivot and all of that. I think I'll be less nervous about building out of the back, because if you're missing that very crucial piece, then like, yeah, it's going to be nerve-wracking.
I mean, Racing's biggest problem like last year is like they would try and build up the back and they would try and build out of the back and they'd try and build out of the back and it wouldn't work. And so they would just keep losing possession. And then they would go direct and then they would go direct and then they'd go direct. And so they were just predictable. Like everybody knew what they were going to do. They were just trying like force stuff. So like what worked well in this game actually wasn't perfect. Again, I'm not trying to say like this was excellent, but you could see little teeny tiny glimmers of it. Is that they would build up from the back and it would be like, okay. But then there would be times that Ellie would then suddenly decide to go direct when she would see an opening and she would get the ball to, I can't even remember, like Kanu or Barr. And then suddenly there would be a chance and they would have a quick opportunity. And the Pride wouldn't necessarily be expecting it that much because they were expecting us to do slow build. So we could like get the ball past them in from behind. So like, we need to be able to build up from the back so we're not predictable, so we can go direct at certain points. So like that's all about playing the right way. So yeah, I agree. I think that getting Jaylen in and even you know having Wright injured meant that we couldn't move Pikayamsa up as easily. Ari injured meant that like there wasn't another great option, you know, potentially as someone who's played in the double pivot before. So, I mean, they were just like a kind of fluky things that made Flint the best option as a six. And I do think that they really want to try and develop her as a potential backup six. They want to try and make that a skill to round out her skill set. But yeah, it clearly was not something she was hugely comfortable with. But again, like I think when Jaylen's in there and the two of them are next to each other playing the way the team has said they're planning on playing them, I think we will see a much smoother ball movement. I also think this is the problem that, or one of the problems, it definitely wasn't the only problem, one of the problems that we saw in Cali against Gotham.
One player that I thought moved the ball up exceptionally well was Carson Pickett, who had a fantastic game. Now, when we talk about are we moving the ball up one of the flanks up the middle, I thought there was a lack of chemistry on Lo Malay's side. You didn't see a lot of like Lo advancing to the midfield, advancing to Alexa. That's not a criticism. They just need reps together. But someone that is fantastic at advancing the ball was Carson Pickett, and it seemed like most of the time when Racing had a sustained possession, they got the ball in Orlando's half. Carson was involved in that, and her and Lowe, I think we saw something of Bev's philosophy that those fullbacks were getting into the attack aggressively, both Carson and Lo Malay, which I think will be fun to watch going forward. Now, I want to kind of pivot a little bit. Caitlin and Becky, the both of you had what we refer to as the expensive seats close to the sideline. And I'd like to know, and I'll start with you, Caitlin, what did you think of Coach Bev's coaching style? What were some of the things that you observed? And I'll say that, you know, it's real easy to kind of compare. It's like, well, Coach Kim was this, or previous coaches, or Mario Sanchez was this. It's like just Bev Yanez by herself. What were some of the things that you observed from her as she was coaching this game?
I think the most interesting thing that I noticed, and I kind of expected this because in the press conference, Bev said this herself, it is her job as coach to be a calming presence for the players on the sideline. And Bev, I feel, is more selective with when she chooses to give direction. Whereas sometimes I feel like Kim would just yell stuff, and maybe it was not very specific or just I don't know. It kind of lost its effect a little bit. But Bev, or maybe it's just because I could hear his voice, it carried more. I don't know. But it just seems to me Bev's very, very calm. She's a very calming presence on the sideline, which is, some coaches are like that. And some have, really like bigger personalities, like maybe like a Laura Harvey or something. And they're just more animated. And like that's not to say Bev doesn't get excited when they score goals, because she does. But as a player, I think she's being, or as a former player, she's being the coach that she probably, I don't know if I'm speaking for her here, but maybe she's being the coach that the kind of coach that she liked to play for, or that she maybe would have wanted to play for. So yeah, Bev's just that calming presence. And I think that's maybe why a lot of the players really respect her and talk about, how they'll again, once again, run through a brick wall for her. I can see that in her coaching style.
I mean, she said in the last press conference it's not her job to be a joystick or to like play with a joystick, and like direct the players like once the game is actually happening. Like she should have done that and instilled what they should be doing already. But I mean, she stayed up there the whole time. I don't think she ever sat down. She stayed in the whatever it's called, the technical space, and watched everything and pointed. And I mean, she did address the players sometimes, but not, as loudly. But she never sat down or anything. She never left. And when players did come over, or when there were breaks, I mean, they had pretty in-depth conversations. But she did also, I want to say argued with the refs, but asked for clarification quite a few times. So I did like that, yeah.
I think one thing that I noticed, just not just from this game, but actually it started in the Challenge Cup final, that reiterated in this game to me, was Challenge Cup final. You had Kayla Fisher getting a real early yellow card. Taylor Flint getting a yellow card before people sat down with their first beer for the game. Maybe that was me. I don't know. But for those of us in the stands, we're thinking, all right, how much time until you take them off? How much time until you take them off? And she never did. She kept faith in those players. I think if you listen to her post-game press conference, very supportive. There's an element where, like, you gave up the equalizing goal to a team with a, if there was a player down, there was the opportunity there where she could have been critical, and she wasn't. Now, that day may come, but, early on, she definitely has, she, definitely giving her players, confidence, letting them know that she has their back. And I it'll be so far the players are responding. And I think Becky, going back to the to what you were saying a second ago about getting in the refs here, there were definitely some cards this game. And first, I'd like to give a quick shout out before I throw it over to you to Kylie Garson, who I've never met, but every game in the Lavender Legion Slack, when I'm watching in the stadium and I see another team and I'm like, well, they're just diving. That's horrible. They're a bunch of cheaters. And then I'll like post a note in the Lavender Legion Slack. I'm like, hey, Kylie, are these legit fouls? And she'll reply back, I'm watching on TV. Taylor Flint is lucky not to have been sent off with a red. Orlando is pretty, legit. So thank you, Kylie. I appreciate that. Becky, you watched the game live. You've rewatched it. What did you think about the refs and the cards given in this one?
I mean, the ref lost control of the game. But before that, I mean, Taylor Flint got a yellow card in the 3rd minute. But I mean, that was a pure professional foul. If she hadn't done that, I mean, that would have been a break on goal. So that stinks. But I mean, she did what needed to be done and did it before she got into the penalty box. So good for her. I will say that, like, favorite, I don't want to say favorite because I don't condone violence, but I
God.
do have some respect for Jalen Howell
Oh my
coming
God. Oh my
in and
gosh.
3 minutes later, like, horse collaring Marta and
Oh.
being like, I'm back. Pitfield violence is what we promised.
Oh my God.
And we were just like, Jalen, what are you doing?
Oh my gosh.
At some point, we gotta, well, okay, this is gonna be a funny pun. We gotta rein it in.
Yes. I mean, no
And
one,
not like cattle,
if there had been
Jalen.
any injury, if Marta had even stayed down for a moment and like seemed like breathless, I would not be laughing. But I mean, she bounced up pretty quickly. So like, but we were just like, what? Like, what is ha what are you even thinking?
But like on a like seriously though, it's the usual suspects got cards. Fisher, Sav, Jalen, well, and now Flint, but those three, right?
Y'all need to cool it, okay? It's the first game.
Truly, they gotta I love the enthusiasm. I love it. Please just try to control it a little bit more.
And like Sav's yellow was so unnecessarily violent as well.
It was.
Like it was such a hard tackle, and I think she misread the way the ball and the player were going, but it was way harder than it needed to be. So like, guys, love you, love the energy, but like
Rein it in.
you're gonna hurt yourselves too.
Yes.
So like, please
And you
chill.
know, it's the first game of the season. As we know, these things add up. And
We don't need, and we don't need like another shocking,
we
like
don't need a
sad
Portland game where
red
everybody's
card.
out, you know, because of cards or injuries or whatever. Like, we don't need that. So,
That was also Ole Rain, right? Where she got sent off, and then
for kicking the ball
yeah,
away. Yes.
that was the one
Yes.
at home, yeah. And that was such BS. But and then she missed another game because it was like the double red because she had the two yellows that became a red, but then it was like double Jeopardy later in the season because she of yellow card accumulation.
Yeah.
That should teach you to be careful with cards. So there were a lot of cards, and I mean, I think the cards that racing players got were valid, and I think that there were cards that the Orlando Pride got away with not getting, and particularly Luana had a late tackle on Taylor Flint that, I mean, was kind of shocking. It wasn't a second yellow because the ball was like 3 feet away and she no cleats, like cleats weren't high, but I mean, she completely took out her legs and Flint just like completely went to ground. And it was the time she stayed to ground for a little while, and it wasn't even a foul. But then what the ref did that I think was a big mistake, I'm assuming this is what she did because it's the only thing that's logical, is that she called a second yellow on Kylie Strom that was like the softest yellow I've practically ever seen. Like Sav, I'm pretty sure it was Sav, didn't even go down. She like kicked her foot and maybe tugged her jersey a little bit and gave her a second yellow and sent her off. And that just created the most ridiculous chaos. I mean, I 100% understand Kylie and the Orlando Pride being aghast and furious over that, but like not leaving the field and letting everybody wander around and then huddle and talk for such a long time. I mean, when I rewatched the game, I do think the ref may have been talking to someone in her ear about something. I think there's some confusion over substitutes because they had been about to let in some Orlando substitutes and maybe about whether they could change them or something like that. I'm just guessing because I have no idea what happened. But that's the only thing that's reasonable for letting, like, if they were reviewing something, to let that go on as long as it did, because that was absurd.
Yeah.
The ref had absolutely really no control of the game after that. And I mean, frankly, I don't blame Orlando for being like, we're gonna effing win this game no matter what, or at least draw it and get a point out of this out of spite. I mean, what more could motivate you for something? I mean, racing should have done a better job of keeping them from doing that, but like, I mean, talk about lighting a fire under them.
Yeah, that you're right. That ref just lost control of the game, and that happens, and you know, you just have to be better about it.
No, and she did a few things, right? Like, I mean, there are some handball. There were two times that Orlando thought that they had handball calls, valid ones on Abby, and there was nothing on either of them. And she checked them, and nothing happened. So, but that Kylie Strom red card debacle was. I hope we don't see anything like that again. That was a mess.
Yeah, two teams and one ref that were definitely having some first game jitters. Racing ends up with a 2-2 draw. I don't know. I am feeling that it could have been worse. There's definitely some items to be excited about, some elements that are troubling, but at the end of the day, the weather was gorgeous. It was a good crowd, and
Over 6,000. Last year, we barely had 4,800. And I know the weather was better, but it was not great in 2022 either. 2021, they had higher than we had for like the team's debut. It was like 6,800, I think. So, I mean, that's great. That's really good. That's a really good sign for racing that has struggled to get people in March and April. So, I don't want to let that fly. That's really positive sign for the team.
Fingers crossed. We've got an upcoming game against Houston. Houston lost, what was it, 5-1? Or, I
Oh
mean,
my God, North Carolina whipped them. Oof.
oh, golly. Well, Houston probably upset that their city is on the surface of the sun, and they're unhappy about that. North Carolina, good like they always are. Hopefully, racing can go down to that city and come out with a win. To the most important part of the show, the point where not only do we celebrate racing, but we beat Big Algorithm, the Mint Mix. Caitlin, we're putting together a Spotify playlist for this season, the Mint Mix 2024. What are we adding this week?
So the first song that I have for this week's Mint Mix was actually a suggestion that I got in a DM from
Ooh.
the co-host of Lavender Louisville, Joe Havelda. His addition to the Mint Mix is "Hey Jealousy" by the Gin Blossoms,
Nice.
specifically for the line, which, depending on how you saw the Rorschach test of this game, the relevant line, "If you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down." Okay, that's certainly one way to look at it. But we have high expectations here. And, I think that's really what it, how you felt about this team, how you felt about the game really has to do with how high your expectations were, right? If you're frustrated or like, man, not again, like your expectations are high. And it's
Real good
understandable to
point.
feel that
Real good
way.
point.
Just keep it in perspective that it's the first game. We have a long season. But that was a good suggestion, Joe. So thank you for that. And then the next two songs that I have, these are dedicated to the goal scorers. Gosh, I love that we have so many international players on our roster because that means I get to add songs from other countries and, beat the algorithm even more than we already are.
Win, win, win.
Exactly. My next addition is Mi Gente by J Balvin and Willie William. This used to be on the pregame playlist for racing. I don't know if it still is, but J Balvin is from Colombia, which is also the national team that Alexa Barr represents. And she had
Nice.
that beautiful chip of a goal that started off the scoring for racing this year. So that song's dedicated to her. And last song I have is it's called Replay by an artist, a Nigerian artist called Tems. And that one is, of course, dedicated to the wonderful Uchenna Kanu, who just, I love her confidence. We talked about this earlier. And I hope she just builds on that, continues to build on it.
Excellent.
Do you, th this is a question for both of you. Okay, if you attended that game, even if your expectations were sky high, do you think that you left not having a good time?
No, and that's the thing. That's the thing. That's a good point, Becky. No, I don't think so.
Like even for a draw where we gave up two goals
Yeah,
and
it was
like gave up the
entertaining.
lead, I still thought that was a really fun game.
Yeah, I think if you came in having no expectations, if you're a brand new fan, like you were entertained.
And also, like, I feel like you would be like, oh, but again, like, racing didn't collapse. Like, you weren't just
Yeah.
like, oh man, that team is a stinker. You were like, oh, those goals sucked, but like, not like the team sucked.
Right. I do think it just has to do with expectations. And a lot of us that are so keyed in to it all, we want the best for this team. I think the frustration is just how it's her
They
way of
look better
showing
though.
they do. We just want wins. We wanted those 3 points.
We want
Gosh, we want
wins.
those three
We need
points.
wins.
Even when they looked bad, they looked better than they have in the past.
I
I
agree. I
mean,
agree.
even when they were struggling and they were not in good positions, there was more cohesion than we've seen in the past. It just felt better.
They never looked out of control.
Exactly. In the same way that those of us in the first year with racing, and racing would get a miracle draw or a miracle win, but we would say, man, that team got outplayed 90% of this game, but we got a result, an awesome hooray. You looked at that honestly and said, this team wasn't there.
But Matos had to make 12 saves in a game.
Yeah, exactly. It's God bless you, Michelle Batos. Now, I don't want to call them fluke goals. Orlando, like, there was the own goal and there was a set piece goal. They were good goals. They were earned goals. But you know what? I never thought that racing was out of this one. So if you are listening to this podcast, you're in Northern Kentucky, you're in Cincinnati, you're out in Bowling Green. Oh my gosh, love Bowling Green. You're out in Appalachia, Eastern Kentucky, you're in Northern Tennessee, Nashville, St. Louis. This is a team that is worth coming and having a nice weekend in the wonderful city of Louisville, Kentucky. We would love to see you. This team is worth coming to see. They are fun. They are exciting. They're scoring goals. Defense, they'll get that fixed. We got Abby Irsay. We got a great coach. And we from Butchertown Rundown, the Lavender Legion, we would love to see you at a game. If you see us, please tap us on the shoulder. Becky, Caitlin, this was fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.